Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Finding a moment to slow down and reset can be a challenge. Identifying a place to do so that doesn't involve a trek to the woods or a big park can be a hurdle too. So it might surprise you to learn there are contemplative paths for unwinding and resetting scattered across the St. Louis region. These circular paths are called labyrinths, and local designer and artist Robert Fishbone has years of experience building and walking them. He joins us now to talk about it. Robert, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So, Robert, in the simplest terms, what is a labyrinth?
So the easiest way to describe it is to compare and contrast it with a maze. So in a maze, which a lot of people would be familiar with, either drawing them while they were, you know, wasting time in classes or walking in a cornfield or a haystacks, basically it's for entertainment and to problem solve. There's dead ends. Do I go left? Do I go right? You know, it drives you crazy. A labyrinth, on the other hand, has a single path. There's actually a technical term for it. It's called unicursal. It would be a single path that winds around back and forth. But as long as you stay on the path, as long as you've committed to staying on the path, you will always end up in the center, and then you take the same path to exit. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing to confuse or figure out.
What was your introduction to labyrinths?
Yeah, so actually my background since I first got to St. Louis has been painting large outdoor murals, so working vertically and in the public realm and coming up with ideas for things. And then at one point, one of the rabbis at my congregation, Central Reform, said, you know, are you familiar with labyrinths? You know what they are? We'd like to have one here. And though I had never built one, I was very familiar with them because I always loved geometry. Mm. And he said, well, please make one here. So I did a design based on the biblical city of Jericho. And with the help of 30 volunteers from the congregation, we actually installed the labyrinth in silence. So we were practicing the same thing in the way we built it that you would do when you walk it, which, again, is humility, surrender.
How long did that process take? Do you remember?
So the planning of labyrinths can take months, but the actual installation with the congregation members took about 90 minutes.
Oh, okay. So not too long.
Not too long. And I've done that three other times.
Yeah. So the first experience that you had of walking a labyrinth, mm-hmm. what do you recall of that?
I think the first thing is the slowness of doing it. And even though it was a while ago, it still was such a contrast to the digital world. When I lead groups to walk labyrinths, I just say, walk slower than you normally do and see how that feels. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's a relief. And for some people, it drives them crazy because they want to go fast.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like, wow, I can go slow. I don't have to make any decisions. Mm-hmm. I can take my time. When I get to the center, I can relax, come back out. And we actually have what are called the four R's now in terms of how one approaches walking a labyrinth, mm-hmm. Which I can explain
yes,
now.
Yes, what are those
sure.
R's?
So the four R's are remember, release, receive, and return. Mm-hmm. And these were established by an organization called Veritas. And they are sort of like the clearinghouse these days for labyrinths and for teaching people how to facilitate. You can get a certificate, like you can get a 100-hour certificate for yoga. You can get a certificate for learning what are the proper ways, the supportive ways to lead a group. So just going over those four words. So remember is the first one, and it's that this is a gift I'm giving to myself. I'm grateful for it. This is a safe thing to do. then release. So as you're about to go into it, you try and release basically your whole life up until that moment. You know, whatever your concerns are, your worries, even your joys, you just want to have this be a new experience. As you walk through, you may pause. You may walk in with a prayer or a mantra or a wish. Not everyone does. When you get to the center, that would be the time for what we call receive. So it's where you're going to be the most open to receiving, you know, an answer or just that relaxation that you were looking for. And then you return the same way with whatever you gained or not. And then when you leave the return, you literally turn around, bow to the labyrinth, and say thank you for this time. Because, again, in a digital world, I mean, how often do we really get away from all those voices, all that decision making? So it's nice to express some gratitude when we have this opportunity to engage in a wholesome practice.
Mm-hmm. Local artist Anu French visits labyrinths regularly, and our producer Laila Halabashic met with Anu yesterday at a labyrinth in the region.
Peace on earth, peace on earth, peace inside, peace outside, peace inside, peace on earth, peace on earth.
And that was Anu French singing at the labyrinth. Robert, when you walk through labyrinths yourself, what do you notice? You know, what sounds, what sights, maybe what scents or fragrances?
So each labyrinth is different. You know, the design is different. Where it's located is different. So some are in urban areas. So you're going to be hearing cars and trucks and airplanes. Sometimes they're in more natural settings. So you may hear birds or the wind. If, you know, we close our eyes, we can feel the wind on our skin. So because there are fewer distractions, our senses become heightened in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say I'm noticing any one thing in particular, just the entire awareness is heightened. The most recent labyrinth I made, which is the most ambitious one, is at Bellefontaine Cemetery and Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's technically open, though the grand opening is not till the fall. We are going to have it open on May 2nd, which, believe it or not, is World Labyrinth Day.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And people are encouraged to walk labyrinths at 1 o'clock local time. I'll be actually facilitating people at Bellefontaine from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon on that day. And that setting, it's in the middle of a cemetery, which is also an arboretum. So, of course, it's very peaceful and quiet, and humbling would be another way to describe the experience of walking in that kind of setting.
Mm-hmm. People will go places all across the world, will set destinations in order to visit labyrinths. Is that something that you've been able to do yourself or that you've heard people talk about?
Well, I know that people do. There's a website called Labyrinth Locator. It's a World Labyrinth Locator. And they have over 6,000 listed labyrinths, not just in the United States, but worldwide. And I have visited some around the United States. You know, if I'm in a place where there is one, I take the time to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't travel as much as I used to.
Sure.
So it wasn't a thing before I started doing it.
Yeah. What are some of the ones that you've seen across the U.S.?
Let me think. In Yellow Springs, Ohio, where I went to college. You know, I haven't walked that many in other places,
really. Sure.
I know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talk about the one in New Harmony, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty popular one that people have walked. Also, the nature of labyrinths is that they can be very permanent, like the one I made at Bellefontaine, which is granite. You walk on a hard path. Or people just make them in the sand. They just walk the path and leave it. They've been made out of luminarios, shoes, books, stones, just mowing the grass. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. And the main thing about walking a labyrinth is you're taking the time to not do something else and engaging in this meditation practice, which is a mindfulness practice, you know, staying on the path.
We're speaking today with Robert Fishbone. He's a labyrinth designer, artist, and owner of On the Wall Productions. Robert, when you are in the process of creating or designing a labyrinth, what are the considerations that you make for how that labyrinth will be traveled?
Mm-hmm. So most labyrinths are based on one that's in Chartres, France. It's about 1,000 years old. It's called the Chartres Labyrinth, and it's in the floor of the cathedral. And so most of the designs bear some, modern designs bear some resemblance to that. So this resurgence in labyrinths began in the 90s. I have not created my own designs, but I have based mine on other people's designs. Generally, in working with the client, we decide what's going to be most appropriate for them, because some labyrinths have Christian imagery in them, and that's appropriate for some settings and not for others, and I've done both.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, the one I did at my congregation, we used an imagery from Jericho, which is a biblical reference. They're all going to be this sort of back and forth walking. And to talk a little bit about the history of labyrinths, so the one in Chartres, it's thought that one of the reasons it was done is because people were required to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, you know, to Palestine and to the city of Jerusalem. Well, for most people, that was impossible to do in the year 1000.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt that the labyrinth was a way to mimic this journey. So you would literally walk back and forth, and there's twists and turns, just like our life is every moment, every day, you know, throughout the course of our life. And in fact, in Judaism, it's required to make three pilgrimages to Jerusalem on three holidays. Not that people do that now, but there's this tradition of holy pilgrimage. And of course, in Islam, going to Mecca to walk around. You know, again, thinking about, okay, people are doing this for a meditative pilgrimage, journey, sacred, holy experience. The setting is going to matter as much as the actual design. I have a tendency to lean towards what's called the Santa Rosa design, which was created by a woman named Leah Goody Harris, and she makes it available to anyone to use. And it's actually based on the chakras that would be found in like either Chinese meditation practices or Hindu. And the fourth one is the heart chakra. And so she has a certain object that she placed in that. So, you know, there can be a lot of intention in these designs for how you use them. Or I like the design, the labyrinth itself, to be pretty plain. Otherwise, you're going to go, oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. And that takes away from the idea of disengaging from the world.
It's a bit of distraction in
yes,
a way.
Yes,
yeah,
more than
yeah.
a bit.
Are there accessibility factors that are taken into consideration? You know, we're talking about walking,
mm-hmm.
but are some labyrinths larger to make it possible for people, for example, who are in wheelchairs?
In wheelchairs, sure. Yes, that is a consideration. That's a decision that the client needs to make. So there are two or three different ways of making what I would call fully accessible labyrinths. And they would be either made out of pavers or large granite pieces that completely cover the space, or cement. And we do have examples of all of these in St. Louis, where you can wheel someone in a wheelchair or make it a little easier to use a walker or a cane. For you know, if you do a labyrinth in grass, which is very common, well, you're not going to be able to, unless you use one of these wheelchairs with giant wheels that are used on beaches, you would not be able to push someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the protocol actually for going on one in a wheelchair is that only your feet need to be on the path. So you kind of keep your feet close together if you're in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the path is narrow, the wheels can be outside that.
I see. We did promise that we'd talk about some of the labyrinths that are in the St. Louis
mm-hmm.
region. There's the first one that you made at Central Reformed Congregation. Where else are there labyrinths throughout the area?
Right. So I'll mention a couple. And I believe they may get posted mm-hmm. with the story that's going to be on your website.
Sure.
So there's first the one that I did at Central Reform Congregation, which is at Waterman and King's Highway in the Central West End. There's also the one that I just did at Bellefontaine Cemetery, which is in the northeast part of the city. And there will on World Labyrinth Day, there'll be signs directing you to the labyrinth. The largest one is at the Mercy Center, which is on Geyer Road, and it's a retreat center. And my mentor, Robert Ferret, who's done 1,200 labyrinths,
wow,
both permanent and portable, he built this one, and it's actually 88 feet in diameter, which is twice as wide as they normally are. It's been there for over 20 years, and it's very removed from distractions, so you can really take your time to walk it. So those are the three that are going to be the most accessible to people. There are many others, I don't know the addresses.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, that's something that we'll share.
Yes.
In our last 30 seconds or so, Robert, for someone who's never tried a labyrinth before, what would you say to encourage them to give it that first walk?
So as a contrast to living in a digital world and see what it's really like to be alive and just slow down a little bit, go with a couple friends maybe and share your experiences afterwards. And again, my instructions are just take a moment before you walk in, walk a little slower than you normally do, be grateful that you were kind to yourself. Mm-hmm.
Robert Fishbone is a labyrinth designer, artist, and owner of On the Wall Productions. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And soon we'll have a web story with a list of labyrinths in the St. Louis region. You'll be able to find that later this week online at stlonair.show.
This episode was produced by Lila Halil-Bashich.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Doerr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.